that's certainly a sellable asset. But for the average person who wants to be location independent, doing drop shipping, in my opinion, is not a business that builds equity. It's more of a lifestyle income.
Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey, listener. If you're looking to make a couple thousand extra per month, selling products on Amazon might be the way to go. Today we go over sourcing, marketing, and selling on that exact platform. Enjoy. Tell me a little bit about yourself. When did you start in the whole business world?
I actually started as an entrepreneur when I was 18. I just graduated high school. I had $1,000 that was given to me as a graduation present from a collection of family and friends. And while my friends were investing it into, I say investing, but they were buying guitar amps and cars, I decided I was going to start an internet business with this $1,000. And I started my first website, sold some things from that website. And over the period of, you know, my college years, I was making about $250,000 in profit a year. After I graduated college, because I had these websites and I was somewhat successful, I kind of got labeled as one of those make money online guys, which I never wanted to be. I never wanted to be one of those people, but people kept asking me to teach it. I had all these friends who were in that market, and I started teaching it for a few years and hated every minute of it. I never woke up and enjoyed it. Not a single day did I like doing that. So a little less than 2 years ago, I shut down that business, decided I wasn't going to do that anymore, and I was going to go in a different direction. And it just so happened that I had some different ideas, and I saw where Amazon was going, and I started selling real products on Amazon, my own products, not other people's products, but my own products on Amazon. And within a year, just under a year, it was already the biggest business I ever had. And today, those businesses accumulate to do about $250,000 a month and growing, just because of having them on Amazon with a little bit of good marketing.
One thing you did say is that you didn't want to be a part of the make money online scene.
Right.
But when I look on your website, right, I see the income reports. And the income report is just such a big thing of that scene, right? So I'm kind of curious, why do you put them up there?
Well, I do that because when I was in the make money online scene, it was all about let's put together a product, let's sell the product, and let's get all our buddies to get together and mail for this product and sell as many things as possible. As of the time of this recording, I don't have anything for sale anymore. So all I focus on are my businesses, and it's freed me up to talk about real internet businesses in a way that doesn't have the shackles on me having to sell something. So now I don't have any financial incentive to being open about things or holding secrets back. And it's allowed me to be really free in the way that I talk about internet businesses, because now I feel like I can really share from a place of contribution rather than from a place of need or getting people to buy my stuff or buy into my ideas.
That's fair enough. The other thing I look on the income reports is that you only put revenue up there. You really don't put profit in there. Is there a reason for that? Are you scared the competition's going to come after your niches, or what's going on?
The reason for that is because personally, I'm not a details guy, Tom. So my partners are the details people. So I am the growth and the marketing guy. And so the numbers I look at are revenue. They're how many sales can we generate? The expenses of every little detail drive me absolutely crazy. And since it's my blog, I'm going to share what I want to share. So the income reports and the revenue reports are really made to be a measure of growth. And I tried to make that absolutely abundantly clear that they're not necessarily the exact amount of money that I'm making, although my profit margins from what I share are extremely high. It's not necessarily to say, look at how much money I'm making. It's more to say, this is what we did last month. this is what we did this month, and here are the reasons why there was either growth or shrinking, so that people can look at that and say, ah, these are the things that had the biggest impact on his business. So they're not so much to brag or show people how awesome I am, as much as they are supposed to be a teaching tool to show what has made the biggest difference in my business, so that other people can see the mistakes I've made and they've seen the things that I've done in my businesses that have made the greatest impact, so that they can go impact their businesses or avoid the mistakes that I've made from, you know, something that dropped revenue from month to month.
It just kind of seems like at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is profit though, right? So even with Amazon, like I would be much more interested in seeing what is actually making money, because there's so many companies out there that have revenue of $200,000-$300,000. And then after everything is said and done, the guy's bringing home like 30 G's or something. It's like, really?
I really have no interest in people thinking that I make a lot of money. And I really have no interest in telling people how much money I make. All I really care about is talking about business. And the purpose of the revenue reports is just to show people what things we did in our businesses that made the greatest impact.
So let's go into the Amazon thing. Are you a drop shipper, or do you actually purchase the stock and hire out a fulfillment center, or are you actually producing this stuff?
We will create the products, we'll create a prototype, send them off to a manufacturer, have the manufacturer make lots of products, and then they ship them to Amazon's warehouse. And Amazon has a program called Fulfilled by Amazon, or FBA, which does all the shipping, all the packaging, all the order taking, and they send you a check at the end of every month from what you sell. So I am not a drop shipper. I don't really believe in that as a model, although I know plenty of people who make good amounts of money. It violates my rules for business. So I create my own products, or we create the prototype of a product, send it off to a manufacturer, have the manufacturer send that straight to Amazon, and Amazon does all the fulfillment. So my work comes down to creating good products, and then it comes down to marketing those products effectively so that I get a check from Amazon at the end of every month.
Doesn't sound too bad. So what are your rules of business, since you kind of mentioned that?
My rules of business are, I need to be providing something unique to the marketplace. It needs to be something that can be systemized, and it needs to be something that can grow in equity. So a drop shipping company violates those rules because, in my mind, it doesn't provide something unique to the marketplace, which means that it can easily be priced out, or somebody can easily come and just cut you out of a business through an aggressive pricing structure or slightly better marketing. It's a race to the bottom, in my opinion. I know plenty of people who do well with that model, but it violates the rule that you're adding something unique to the marketplace. And also, I want to have equity in a company. And if you're just selling other people's products, it's not impossible to have a business with a lot of equity, but it's a lot harder to have businesses with a lot of equity, because in order to do that, you need to position yourself as a retail shop, which is a much harder push than you having a product being sold by the retailers themselves.
Okay, so what you're looking at is you want to make sure you own the product, because one of the products you're selling is yoga towels, right? And I can't really think of much being unique in that. I mean, anyone can come up with a towel and sell that as well. I think that's what you're talking about, right? Is that you actually want to make sure that no one can undercut you with that same product, or like a dropshipper can't, for some reason, just stop you from selling it.
Well, I am making that case. That is part of my argument. However, I would disagree with you that, you know, yoga towels can't be differentiated. Our yoga mats, and this isn't a pitch for my company. If you want to buy my yoga towels, I could care less, but go for it. But our yoga towels, our yoga mats, our yoga blocks are done with a good amount of research to find out exactly what types of products people who are actively involved in yoga want to purchase and what's important to them. And we take a really strong position of trying to be as environmentally friendly as possible. And that goes into our marketing as a differentiating factor as well. So we do work at making our products different from the competition. But you're right that the point that I'm trying to make is you want to own the thing that has the most value, and that is the products themselves, in my opinion. I know plenty of people who want to build a distribution channel, and if they're able to do that big enough, that's certainly a sellable asset. But for the average person who wants to be location independent, doing drop shipping, in my opinion, is not a business that builds equity. It's more of a lifestyle income, which is fine if that's what you're going for, but it violates my rules for what I'm looking for in a business.
When you're thinking of creating a new product, what do you look at? Because the main thing I'm hearing is when you sell on Amazon, you should sell something that's expensive, that's small. It's not going to hold up another room in your warehouse. So what else are you looking for when you're creating something?
Well, the most important thing I'm looking for when I'm releasing a new product, which was your first question, is I want to make sure it's a complement to the other products that I have. It would make absolutely no sense to release a new product on Amazon if it wasn't a product that met your target market that you're already serving. It would make no sense to do that. So I know some people will do a yoga towel and then they'll do a dog leash. Makes no sense at all. It only makes sense if you're building up a line of products that serves one customer base. Because once you've done all the hard work of selling a product and building up that customer base, you want to be able to sell to that group that you've already built up. It's a lot easier to launch your second product when you already have a customer base. So that's the most important thing that I'm looking for. But if it, in a perfect world, those products would be small, expensive, and light. I know that there's only a few products that really fall under those criteria. So there's some give and take there. I have some rules for that. And those rules look like this. I don't sell anything that's less than $20. It's rule number one. I try to not do anything that is larger than Amazon's standard size. And I learned this by total mistake because my first product, a yoga mat, was oversized and it turned out to be a real pain in the rear. And you'd want it to be light, under a pound, in an ideal world, because then it would be affordable to airlift them from your manufacturer to Amazon's warehouse, rather than having them put on a boat somewhere. Now, I only know those because I violated all of them and it was to my own downfall. Now I focus on products that meet those criteria and things are a lot easier.
You want to make something that complements your other products, but what if you're creating your first product though? And yeah, you mentioned some of those rules, but what else are you looking for when you try to create the first product that you're going to be selling?
There's only one other thing that I'm looking for, and I'm looking for volume. Is there enough of a market demand for there to be a real business there? And there's two ways of looking at it. There's two ways that you can find that out. One is, are people successfully selling this on Amazon currently? That's the first question. And if they are, then there's room for another competitor. The second question, if that's not your mode of thinking, the second way you can evaluate is this being advertised in mass media? Do I see this on TV? Do I see this in magazines? Do I see this in other mass markets? Do I see people doing display advertising for this product? That was how I picked my first product ever, which we saw in mass media. And we went that way and it was a great product. So some people will just look at Amazon. I like to look beyond just Amazon and also see if things are being advertised in mass media.
What are the fees like with Amazon? For example, if I'm selling a $10, let's say the $20 product, you said don't go under $20. So if I'm selling a $20 product, how much do I get to keep? What do I have to pay to Amazon?
It usually roughly ends up being 25 to 30%, which sounds high. I'll say why it's not as high as it sounds. So that would be like $5, $6 for a $20 product. That sounds high, and it sounded high to me at first, until I realized that, you know, if we were to do display advertising for this product, or if we were to pay affiliates for this product, or if we were to advertise on radio or direct mail, there's no way we could get a conversion for $5 or $6. It would be nearly impossible. So the fee that you pay Amazon is the shipping fee, the packing fee, the processing fee, and the referral fee, which is 15%. So the 15% is, hey, we're taking basically our affiliate commission for referring over the customer, which I'm happy to pay because I could never get, that's the cheapest acquisition for a customer that I've ever had, 15%. Nobody acquires a customer for 15% of the front end cost. That's unheard of. And then the other fees are things like shipping, packing, processing, which you would pay anyway. So they're 25 to 30%, and I'm happy to pay that amount.
What kind of promotions do you use to push this product on Amazon anymore, or do you just let Amazon do all the work?
No, really simply, we will do Amazon pay-per-click, and we will do some sort of a product launch, which means We will give away the product for a dollar. We'll advertise for that. We might give it away for free to friends and family in order to get volume moving, to get reviews coming in. Those are really the two things that we focus on, doing Amazon pay-per-click and doing some sort of a launch discount promotion. And then the only other thing we worry about in that first stage of business or trying to get sales moving is getting as many reviews as possible and systemizing the process for reviews so that we're getting a regular flow of them, because reviews really are everything on Amazon.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What's the easiest and best way to get your product to go into the best sellers list? Is it the reviews or the sales?
Well, the sales are what will really drive your ranking, and the sales are really what will drive your listing inside of a bestseller category. But you need the reviews there in order to make the sales. So there's a bit of a chicken egg issue there. Do we go after sales? Do we go after reviews? We need both to get either one. So I've always said, be aggressive with your reviews at the beginning. Get those 25 to 50 reviews as soon as possible. That will drive the rest of your marketing and your sales so that you're regular converting customers from the other advertising sources that you're working on.
So what's the best way to get those 25 to 50 early reviews?
Make a list of all the friends and family that you can bug to death without sacrificing your relationship, get them to review the product, and then work on your customers and give them a coupon code as a thank you for being a loyal customer. Ask them if they'd be willing to share their experience on Amazon.
Okay, so you said that Amazon takes about 30%, right, of what you're selling?
Yeah.
Now, the Zen Active Sports that's on your website, I also see that it's just becoming profitable now, so you haven't really made much money with it. So what's been happening there? What's going on with the products when you first release them so that they're not really making money initially?
Well, when I say profitable, I mean money in my pocket. So what will happen if you have a physical product is you'll buy 500 units, you'll sell them, and you made 50% profit margins. Well, then you'll order 1,000. And then you order 2,000, and then you order 5,000, which is great because your revenue is going up, but you keep rolling it into more inventory, which means that you're not putting any money in your pocket. And then if you want to roll out product number two, you need to take the profit margins from product number one, put them into product number two, product number three, until you're sizable enough to where you say, okay, great, we can take some money off the table. So there hasn't been any loss of money or loss of revenue. It's just been a process of rolling that money into more inventory, more products, advertising channels, and keep reinvesting in the business so that we have a product line that is growing and expanding. Now we're at the point where we're finally getting to the point where we can take money off the table and put it back into our pockets.
Okay, so what you're saying is you're basically putting the money back in the business, but the product is making money from day one.
100%.
Okay, that makes sense. That clears it up. So if someone is trying to get their, I guess, foot wet in the whole Amazon marketplace, what would you recommend they do?
I would recommend that they look at products that are really easy to source or that they can easily offer their own spin on, their own unique proposition to the marketplace. There's so many people running onto Amazon right now. It's the hot thing. Everybody wants to go on Amazon. When I get on shows like yours, people want to talk about Amazon, which is fine, but just know that as all of these people are starting to come onto Amazon, the really easy niche markets are starting to get squeezed out. So the solution to that, what's really going to be profitable in the long term, is building sizable product lines that have some sort of unique proposition in the marketplace. Those are going to be the businesses that survive. If you're looking at this as something that you can do and you can, you know, sell spatulas and make a few thousand dollars a month, this is not the business that you want to get into. You can do plenty of things to make a few thousand dollars a month. This would not be the one for that. The people who are really going to survive on Amazon, are the ones who build a product line that have some sort of unique positioning in the marketplace. So I have no interest in selling a yoga mat on Amazon, but I do have a strong interest in selling a yoga product line on Amazon that's towels, blocks, mats, clothes, tools. I want all of those. That's a sizable, sellable company. So if you're looking at this just as a product, this is probably not the business that you want to be in. But if you're looking at growing a real business, Amazon's a great place to start getting sales for your business before you roll into other channels.
Can you walk me through the process of sourcing a little bit? Because you mentioned that I think a lot of listeners are wondering, how do we even go about that?
It really just comes down to finding a good supplier that you trust and having them produce a prototype or some samples, and then you having those sent straight over to Amazon. So there's a website that a lot of people use called Alibaba.com. Alibaba.com. It's a place where suppliers all over the world come and list the products that they have. And I think Alibaba just went public as a company. And I think they're also a Yahoo subsidiary. So they're a large company. And people from all over the world come and they have products to sell. And they'll put them on Alibaba as a supplier. You can go with them, negotiate, get samples, order the different products that they have them send to your house. You can evaluate them. And you can have people compete against one another to find the best price and or the best product. There's other sources that do the exact same thing. We've always stuck with Alibaba. You can also find US-based manufacturers if you just do some friendly Google research and you type in whatever your product is plus wholesale or wholesale supplier, and you'll find plenty of people who produce product, although profit margins are hard getting a US-based supplier. So that's really the process. It just comes down to knowing what product it is that you want, finding a supplier who specializes in that, getting a sample, ordering some inventory, shipping it over to Amazon, and then creating your listing and getting some sales moving on that channel.
I also feel that, as you mentioned, a lot of people get excited about Amazon. And I feel it's just one platform, and just like with anything else, it could go away at some point, or just maybe block people or change its rules, right? So yeah. What's your plan if something happens with that channel?
You know, I actually just released a podcast on my podcast, which is called Freedom Fastlane, called Amazon.com Prophecy, What's Next for Amazon Entrepreneurs? Because I do see some major market changes happening. As of right now, we're sitting here recording this, it's still a little bit of a wide open west. Anybody can get on Amazon, anybody can sell their products. It's pretty easy to rank your products for certain keywords, but that's gonna change. There's a big market consolidation happening right now where all of these different companies are starting to get onto Amazon. The real people who are going to be surviving are people with large product lines that are selling something unique in the marketplace. Those are the people who are really going to do well in the next 12 to 36 months. So if this is a business that you're looking to start, it's time to start now. In 12 months, it will still be possible, but it will be more of a challenge in order to rank for keywords, in order to get exposure on Amazon. It won't be impossible. It'll just be a little bit more challenging. It might take a little bit more financial investment in order to advertise enough to show up for keywords. So again, not impossible, just more of a challenge. I do think Amazon's gonna get smarter in the coming years. There's a lot of review fraud that goes on Amazon.com. A lot of review fraud. And I think they're going to get their act together and going to start cracking down on that. I also think they're going to start vetting new sellers and just making sure that they're legitimate and that their products are good. I know that Amazon is just obsessed with customer service. And I think that in order to protect their customers, they're going to have to start making it more difficult for new sellers to go onto Amazon and to sell effectively. So I do see changes coming. I think some of them will open up opportunities for people. And I think at the same time, it's going to squeeze out people who shouldn't be there.
So what other channels are you looking at to move into those different areas so that you can keep yourself protected a little bit too?
There's two channels that we're looking at right now. One is our own channel, selling on our own website. We are experimenting with that right now. And the second is retail, which is something I know nothing about and we'll have to learn. But getting our physical products into retail stores, I think it is the next frontier for us.
Okay, awesome. Okay, Ryan, tell people where they can find you, and if you're working on something or something's some kind of a release is coming up, can you tell them where they can find that?
My blog is called freedomfastlane.com. I also have a podcast of my own where I give away all my secrets and don't hold anything back, and that's also called Freedom Fastlane. It's one of the top marketing podcasts on iTunes. If you just go to iTunes and subscribe to Freedom Fastlane, you'll hear me talking to you on a nonstop basis.
That's funny. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please help out by leaving a review on iTunes, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button. If you have any questions, hit me up in the comments on smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect, Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.